Morning. Good morning, everyone. Oftentimes, we have difficulty seeing our own sins because we're too distracted with the condition of society and the relative morals of those around us. On the surface, society seems to glorify those who are the exception to the rule. Those who stand out in some way from what we see as normal everyday lifestyle. Someone who has some uncommon talent, level of talent or skill that can find ways to be rewarded financially in everyday life and more noticeably in sports and entertainment businesses. People can gain popularity through hard work and talent in these fields, but also can get notoriety through having a rebellious or seemingly outrageous behavior or attitudes that seem to show they don't have to live by the same old tired rules that of society that the rest of us feel compelled to live by. Perhaps such people are celebrated because we think they seem powerful and that they are not controlled by the norms of society. When we feel in our own lives or being oppressed by something, maybe it feels good to see someone who does not seem to be controlled by what we might think controls us. In reality, though, what seems unique and creative one day just becomes a tired rule that others try to compel you to follow later. We are not really freeing ourselves from being oppressed. We are just making ourselves slaves to the next popular way of thinking. It can also be good to be found as an exception to the rule in the many ways it is required of us to live as Christians. We are to live lives that stand out in contrast the way the majority of the world chooses to live. Sometimes that uniqueness will be celebrated, and other times, perhaps more often, it will make us stand out in a way that results in more persecution than praise from society and those who don't have our shared hope in Christ. Being found different than those around us is required because we are sanctified, set apart by God from the world as members of His church. When we live according to God's will and not our own, any praise we receive or any persecution we receive, not really because of anything strong or weak about us personally, but can be credited to God. Any praise we receive should be redirected to God, and we should look to Him and be comforted by His love and many gifts that He has given us when we are persecuted. God is impartial. All who sin are deserving of punishment, and similarly, all who diligently seek to live our lives for Him are promised to be awarded. I'd like to read from Romans chapter 2, the first 11 verses. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hardened and impenitent heart, you are stored up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. God shows no partiality. As children of God, we should be recognizable by the way God's unchanging will is seen in our character to those around us. God's will has a different meaning to us as Christians than to those who do not believe. We first believe in God after hearing the gospel and learn a faith that that his God did live, or that his son did live and died on a cross for us. As we begin as new Christians, our faith may be based on fear, fear of the unknown or fear of God's wrath if we die without getting around to obeying him. We may not know why we believe, but we are compelled to stay faithful because we want to feel safe from what we otherwise might encounter in life. As our faith matures, we should come to appreciate that the love of God is evident in our lives, and we are shown to be in tune with his word that he has given us. Our hope in God and the promises we have from him also should mature and turn from wishful thinking to a confidence in God's word, the promise we have from him. We can become confident of the love of God that he has for us as we learn better how to appreciate and return that love to those around us. Our love from God should be shown by kindness, patience, and selflessness to one another, which will help to grow our common faith and hope in the promise we have through his son, Jesus. Our hope that comes from God, which keeps us faithful and obedient, helps us to continue loving God and showing his love to others. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Our hope is in being a Christian. We have all in one way or another led a life that has been at one point opposing God's will. We do so not knowing any better, perhaps because we have grown up outside the church or without any real awareness of the truth that's in the Bible. Whether we are openly and personally and on purpose defying God's word, it still remains that we are lost and we have no hope of living a better life through God. We are all created by God through his Son so that we might glorify him. That's our eternal purpose, to praise him and show that he is supreme in our lives and should glorify him in all that we do. We had no hope to do this except through Jesus' sacrifice for us. Sacrifice that we can partake of through baptism so we might be reconciled from our sinful way of life back to God. Only through the cross it is shown to us that we can escape our eternal death and realize the eternal joy that's promised through his love. Although we have been made holy and without blemish through Jesus' sacrifice, we must continue to remain firm in our faith in God and do what remain firm in our faith in God so that we do not move and back away from that hope which we have been given. When we are first baptized and receive forgiveness of sins, it is hard to imagine ever turning away from that. Losing our hope will happen if we do not actively seek to keep his commandments and make faith a priority, our faith in him a priority in our lives. When we are added to God's family, we are forgiven of our sins, but we also still must live in a world that celebrates those who proudly live in opposition to his will. At some point, it will be obvious to us and to those around us what makes us unique. We ultimately will see that we either conform to someone's rules. We need to make sure that we align ourselves with God, whose reward is eternal, rather than the fading rewards that we are found so valuable to society. Turning now to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's our common hope to live together with God for eternity. In order to be united with him, we need to be reconciled to him through Christ's sacrifice. It is through Jesus' death that we are brought back together with God. It is this common hope that we have which should drive us to desire to do those things which he has commanded us to do. If we have allowed our old self to die in baptism, then we must seek out those things which the Bible tells us are righteous. God is the source of our faith. He chose each one of us to be called to be part of his family. We must look to God for our strength and continue to increase our knowledge of him through study of his word, and to build up in our lives those things that which will keep our faith strong and keep our bond with God and with each other strong. We should show compassion to one another, not looking to condemn each other for our sins, but to encourage one another to keep away from those sins which are celebrated by the world. We need to build up one another in knowledge of God's word and practicing those good things which glorify God. Help us to keep on our path to eternal life. We need to show kindness and gentleness to one another as we encourage each other to live godly lives. We are not just to overlook sin in each other's lives, doing so out of politeness, not wanting to have those awkward and necessary conversations with each other. We are commanded to admonish each other with all wisdom so that we don't let each other fall away. Doing so with gentleness and humbly knowing that we have our own struggles and we need someone to help us along our way as well. When we repent of our sins, we should not expect that others in the church will hold those past sins over us. We should expect love and understanding and continued firm support to help keep those sins from ruling our lives once again. Perhaps the sins we have had in our lives are not obvious to others, but that doesn't make us any less in need of God's forgiveness. When we know of a particular struggle someone has or has had in the past, we should use that knowledge not to think more highly of ourselves, but as a way for us to show patience and gentleness and help each other to avoid falling back into our old patterns. When we become Christians, we are not just waiting on that eternal reward that we will be holy once we get to heaven, but it's something we are to do today. We are not to live as we did before. We should seek after our perfect example of obedience to God's commandments, despite knowing that we will fall short from our goal. on our own. We become part of God's family while we are still living our lives on this earth. Because of this, we need to strive to live holy lives, replacing our old way of life with a new way that's centered on God, focused on living according to His will and full of living lives that are full of the good works that He's asked us to do. We still will not be perfect, but by staying faithful, we can still count on Jesus to make us complete and holy and acceptable to God. If we are one with Christ now, we can be confident that after this life, when everything else that seems so important in the world today is passed away, that we will be with God for eternity. It can be easy to put our hope in physical things of the world, provide us pleasure or make us comfortable. When we seek to be found exceptional by the standards of the world, we will find benefits that motivate us to want to keep seeking that recognition and approval. The reward from those actions will not last, and throughout our lives we will see that what we once saw as important and powerful fades away and doesn't provide the happiness we once thought. Our hope in this life should come from our desire to glorify God rather than ourselves. If we place our trust in God or in something else, it will be seen by our actions. Christ was sacrificed to provide our hope, so we should work to make sure that that is evident to those who see our actions, that God is at the focus of our lives. And finally, I'd like to read from Lamentations chapter 3. Beginning in verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in Him, and to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Our hope in God is something that we must make certain we have before our life is over. Our hope should not be from being found exceptional by society, but by being found exceptional by God for not being conformed to this world, by being transformed from it and choosing to take part in sacrifice that Christ has made possible for us. God's blessings are eternal, and so are the consequences of sin. We suffer anguish in our lives for doing God's will. It's going to be temporary. If that leads us to eternal hope in God, it's well worth it. And once our life is over, we no longer have that opportunity to gain our hope from God. We must do so now. We must give God the praise deserves while we are still alive and can show Him our faithfulness. It would be sad to fail for those that, it would be sad for those that fail to trust God now. Our lives are short and we need to realize this urgency in obeying God. And if we are faithful to Him, we can be assured that He will give us the strength that we need to do so. With that, I'll offer an invitation to anyone who has need to come before the congregation. Whether to accept Christ and be baptized or anything else, we ask that you might come forward now as we stand and sing the closing hymn.